Hey, what's up? It's Ryan from Speak Low If You Speak Love. I play guitar and sing, and you're listening to Break the Ice Podcast.
Another episode of Break the Ice Podcast. I am your host, Julia, and I need vodka. Just kidding. Don't give me vodka. Today's episode is going to be a really fun one. I sat down with Ryan Scott Graham of Speak Low If You Speak Love. He also is in-state champs. He plays bass and is backing vocal, but right now he is on tour supporting his side project, Speak Low If You Speak Love, with Neck Deep, Creeper, and Seaway, and it was an awesome time. I had a blast. But before we jump into the new episode, do not forget our social media. We are on Instagram as Break the Ice Podcast, at Podcast BTI on Twitter, Break the Ice Podcast on Facebook and Flickr for those who love photos. And then we have a website also, if you want to check that out, BreakTheIcePodcastBlog.com. We'll be posting a lot more news on there, a lot of photos of me with people that I've met over the years. And if you want to get in touch with me and tell me how much I suck, how much you hate my voice, how much I sound awesome, if that even makes any sense, you can always email me at BreakTheIcePodcast2016@gmail.com. So let's jump right into the interview with Ryan Scott Graham of Speak Low If You Speak Love. Well, how are you today? I know you guys, you're celebrating your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we partied pretty hard last night, but it was a really, really good night. We got to bed late. We're up early. We're here. We're in Baltimore, excited, ready to go.
Yeah, you've been excited for Baltimore?
Yeah, honestly, the times that I've played here has been a really, really good time. So I'm always excited to get back. It's a big room. Ready to play for some new people. Yeah.
So, obviously, I came across your stuff because somebody had sent it to me, and I fell completely in love with it. I'm more of a metalhead,
okay.
So for me to go from like riff and screaming to just like mellow out is really weird for a lot of people, and especially for me. So, and then you play in state champs as well.
Correct.
So there's a huge difference. Is it because you prefer it, or is it like your escape?
I think it's kind of what comes naturally to me, I guess. It's mostly a combination of like I think everything that I listen to. So you've got elements of, you know, indie rock, and you've got elements of like the singer-songwriter, and you know there's like some pop punk elements in there, and you know it's just everything. So it's not necessarily I prefer it more. It's just like when I sit down to play guitar and write, like that's just what comes out whenever I play. So I've been working on this record a long time, and it's cool to have it out, and it's cool to hear people say that it is like a mellow, like vibey thing, because you know that's what I was going for.
Yeah, I love it, because not one song does make me like, it's just so mellow, and I love it, and like it's got some sad elements obviously in it, but like it doesn't bum me out, and that's something that I kind of like when somebody writes a sad song, I get a little weirded out, because like I'm a big feelings person, so like if it's too sad, I get in my feelings and I'm like, I don't want to hear it again.
Okay,
but like this record, I can listen to it over and over again. So it's very different from your first record. What was the difference? What were you thinking on the first record and then making you make the change for your second record?
When I was working on the first record, it was more of a like, I didn't have anything yet, so I would write a song and I would just kind of put it out and into the world and see, you know, what people have to say about it. And You know, I got some positive feedback from like my close circle, my friends. Like, I didn't have a reach, so it was just basically, hey, I'm writing these songs in my room and I want to know if they're any good. And so my friends were giving me good positive feedback, but you know, I didn't really like mold the sound. I wasn't trying to go for anything. That was just what I was writing. And so I put out the record and I printed about like 100 copies of it. I put it out independently. And then, you know, I joined State Champs maybe a month after I put that record out. So it kind of sat on the back burner for a little while. And then 2015, Pure Noise picked it up, re-released it. And yeah, like I said, it was my life's work, I guess, up until that point, because I didn't have anything else to go off of. So with this next record, I wanted there to be a direction, and I wanted there to be a goal, and the goal was to be just more deliberate with the sounds and the songs and like what I wanted to say, what I wanted to convey, what I wanted people to feel. And so, you know, I would write the songs the same way I would do the first record, but I would just spend more time, more energy kind of crafting those and kind of whittling away and getting that final product. And then obviously took them to my producer, Aaron Marsh, and he had a ton of input, he had a ton of feedback, and it was cool to have another ear and fingers and voice on the project. So that's basically it.
Yeah, so on the first record, it was just all you, and you didn't have somebody else besides your friends to bounce back with. So, okay, damn. Yeah. That must have been a little nerve-wracking, I guess.
It was, but it wasn't, just because, like I said, I didn't have an audience. So, like, if it didn't really reach anybody, you know, I wouldn't have been bummed out, because at that point, I was just doing it for myself. Like, obviously, when you make art, you want people to see it, you want people to care about it, but like I said, I didn't have any like frame of reference. I didn't have that audience yet. So with this one, I kind of did have an audience, you know, beforehand, people anticipating something. And I really felt like, okay, I need to deliver. I need to put my best foot forward, because I know what I'm capable of, and I know that these people are expecting something great. And that's what I try to make happen.
Awesome. And How's this tour? I know the record's awesome. I've already like said it like 20 times that I love it. I was gonna say, how is this tour? I just want to keep talking about the record. That's it.
It's all good. No, the tour has been amazing. Obviously, getting in front of people is like the goal. It's the main point. I've done a couple Speak Low tours before, but like I said, because I'm with State Champs so often, I don't really get the time to. So the fact that I kind of had a month and a half to do this and put out a record was like perfect timing.
Right.
The reception's been really great. I mean, we're the mellow band on the tour. You know, people are coming to jump around and mosh and crowd surf and stuff. But I think being the diverse band actually is kind of working in our favor. It's cool to like kind of set the mood. And the show's been great. We've been getting along really well with Creeper and Seaway. We've been sharing a green room with them like pretty much every night. So the vibes are high, like everybody's hanging out.
Awesome.
Everybody is like, we're only 2 weeks in, but everybody feels like we're like best friends. So
that's always the best part, where everyone can just get along.
Right.
So I mean, you say that you're like the mellow band on the tour, but Creeper isn't so much, I don't want to say that they're like mellow, but they aren't.
They're not pop punk.
But they're not.
But
yeah.
They still bring some heat for sure. I mean, their set starts off with, you know, like blasting guitars and
right,
drums,
right.
And so, you know, they know how to get the crowd stoked right away. We come up there and we're like, we got some grooves for you, but you're not gonna be head walking to this.
Yeah,
so
everyone's gonna enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, what's a song that you love to perform live?
So the first song that I did with Aaron Marsh for the record was called Cannot Have It All, and that was the song that we spent a lot of time with. So I went down there for about a week. I went to Florida for a week to record the song, and then I didn't go back to the studio for about 3 months between that, so I was just listening to the song over and over and over, and I was like, wow, I really feel like we nailed this. Like, this is a really special song to me. And so we've been playing it on this tour, and it's probably the most chill and like mellow. I keep saying mellow, but it's like the most stripped song and like vulnerable song in the set, and it comes right in the middle, and I think people, you know, they've danced a little bit, and then we break it down and this song comes, and kind of like you can listen you know, concisely to the lyrics. Feels. Exactly. And so that's been my favorite song to play on this tour so far.
Awesome. And I know, State Champs, you're not the one in front singing.
Right.
So how is that different, like being the one up front and being the one that, you know, has to maneuver the crowd?
Yeah.
You have to talk to the crowd now. So how much different is that doing this than being in Neck Deep and having your lead singer do it?
Yeah. When I'm with State Champs, like, I'm kind of the goofy persona. I'm the guy who's, like, just, you know, jamming out on stage, spinning around, having a good time. And my interaction with the crowd is minimal because, you know, Derek is a really great front man. He knows how to talk to the crowd. And, you know, I'm just there kind of for, like, you know, moral support, I guess. You know, I'm the guy who's, like, responds to something Derek says or to make the crowd laugh or whatever. In Speak Low, it's like, it's definitely like shifting gears. I'm still kind of learning how to navigate talking to the crowd because, you know, when you finish a song that's so, like, you know, emotion packed and like, it is a chill song, so you don't know how the crowd's gonna react when they're at a pop punk show. Like, what they're like, what the hell is this? Like, what is this band? Blah blah blah, and I'm still kind of trying to figure it out. Like, you know, I want to be able to have a conversation with the people. I want it to be personal and intimate and feel like they know who I am. So, you know, you'll see tonight, it's a struggle, but I've got some banter here and there, and I want people to feel like they can respond to the songs. So, it is kind of a different feeling being the guy in the front. I don't know if I'm necessarily comfortable with it, but it's been fun.
But
I have to.
You have to. Yeah. You're on the tour. No, right. But you love what you do, and that's why you're doing it. I mean, I saw that you guys have a tour press on this tour for the vinyl. I'm a vinyl head, so cool. I saw that and I was like, I need to have one. So there's that. I was really emphasizing on vinyls because I know a lot of people that collect and listen to the podcast and they're like, ask about vinyls. I'm like, well, there's a tour press vinyl, correct?
Yeah,
like 300.
Yeah. Yeah, there's 300 of the tour pressing. And honestly, I think we're pretty low. We ran out of CDs one. We ran out of CDs for like a 3-day stretch, and so we were selling the vinyl for like half price because we didn't have any CDs.
Oh gosh!
And so they were like flying.
They were flying, I'm sure. And a lot of people are getting into collecting vinyls and CDs now.
It's hot.
So that's always nice because I thought for a while everyone thought that was dying out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, things come and go like that, and honestly, not a lot of people listen to CDs anymore, but they're still buying them because of the novelty. And I think that will come back around too. Like, when everybody thinks CDs are dead in 10 years, they're going to come back and be like, oh, I love collecting CDs. You know what I'm saying? So it's been fun to like kind of see what people care about. You know, we're still selling a lot of CDs, but it's fun to have different variants of the vinyl because you see people buying all three and they're like, all right, my collection's complete, you know?
I know, yeah. Is there such thing as the test press?
Yeah, we've got test press.
Oh, gosh.
But those are rare. Those are the secret like ones. Those are stashed away in my room. Right now. Yeah. They're not on tour.
You're saving them for one day. That one day.
I'm like, yo, if this record, you know, pops off, might have to put it on eBay, make a couple bucks.
When it starts hitting low, maybe just put it on eBay.
Or that. When people stop caring about it, I'm like, all right, I got to make some money.
I don't think so. I think you're definitely going up there.
Thanks.
I'm not into like super mellow, but this really caught my attention. And I'm really glad to have you on the podcast. Like I told you, the podcast was on like a little hiatus, and this is kind of like a surprise episode coming back. And I know that a lot of people like your music. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Absolutely.
And before we end it, I know we're drinking Natty Bo, but
we are.
I know.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
I usually put a song at the end of the podcast for everybody to listen. Do you want to choose one off the new record?
I think I would love people to check out the song Ever Yours.
Ever Yours?
Yeah, Ever Yours. Number 4. That was actually, I think, the first song that I wrote for the record and, you know, spanning back like 3 years. I wrote a riff. Like, I remember I joined State Champs and the weekend I was up there, I was just riffing around on guitar late one night. This was probably 2014, and I wrote the riff for Ever Yours, and slowly over the next like 3 years, it actually turned into a song. And so for me, it's deeply personal. It's like, feels like a journey to me. The song itself is a journey. You know, there's peaks and valleys, but I think the song for me is like, I wrote this and I thought that it was, you know, just going to go in the corner and never see the light of day.
Yeah.
And then kind of just transformed into this really beautiful song. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Let's finish these beers and I guess go.
Let's do it.
Enjoy the show. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
So that was my conversation with Ryan. He's such an awesome dude. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me, Ryan. I actually reached out directly to him, and it was very awesome to get a quick response. His sophomore album, Nearsighted, is already out on Pure Noise Records, and it is awesome, guys. I am a metalhead myself, but this is really chill, and I love it, and I've grown to really fall in love with it. And for those vinyl heads, there is like 3 different pressings of it, and you can bet your ass that I have at least 2 of them already. So go catch him on this tour with Neck Deep, Creeper, and Seaway. Catch his set. His set is fucking awesome. Thank you guys so much for supporting this and for supporting me. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. Do not forget to check out our social medias, follow us, tweet us. I don't know. Send us to all your friends. Tell all your friends about it. And do not forget to subscribe on iTunes. And for my Android listeners, we are on SoundCloud. So just search up Break the Ice Podcast. So I'm going to leave you with a little tune that Ryan picked off the new album, Nearsighted. All right, guys. See you next week. Bye. Was irrelevant. I knew that you were gone. Was I